I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. We are officially in the building. Shout out to everybody that subscribed to the channel. We are over 100,000 subscribers. Hey, it's going crazy, bro. I see y'all in the comments, man. I appreciate everybody that's just tapped in. All of my followers and supporters that been doing it from the jump. You know, we've been grinding. This ain't no overnight thing. Special guest in the building. Somebody that I've been watching for a long time. Super talented individual. Singer, actor, entrepreneur. We can't forget about father. Is it husband now?
Yes, sir.
Husband. Yeah. But most important, a genuine dude, super talented. Rotimi is here. What up, brother?
My brother.
My guy, man. Yeah. I was just telling you, we did a video like 9 years ago, we say?
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah, bro. My good, that's horrible math, but probably
I don't know.
That's horrible math.
I'm not scared. I don't care. I'm a human. I don't give a damn. Like shit, I'll mess up. The hell?
No. But yeah, it was around there, bro. Like yeah. I think I was always in that area. I was always in the DC area, man.
Yeah,
and it's always been love when I'm out there.
So. You always is working, man, and that's something that I'm sure that so many people admire about you.
Thank you.
Ambition.
Thank you.
And right now, I wanna get this out of the way because I have a conversation I wanna have.
Yeah,
but right now you. Pushing My Heart, My Veins.
Yeah.
Right? That's a double-sided project that you got where we got just traditional R&B.
Yeah.
And then we also have Afrobeat
as well. Yes, sir.
How does it feel, bro?
You know, it took a long time, bro, to get to this point because if people have been following my journey for a while, I've been trying to figure out how I can be all of me in one serving for people, mm-hmm. you know? So I started off, you know, as an artist starting off 2015, 2016, you're trying to just figure it out and you're catching yourself imitate other artists. Like, oh, I want to sound like this. I want to sound like this. And I realized, man, that's not me. Mm. And then it got to the point where I started hearing about, and I was always a part of the Afrobeat movement since it was like baby, you know, mm-hmm. since going on tour with Wizkid in 2012. And you know, we were just always just seeing it happen. And I just realized like, this is kind of who I am, but I'm also influenced by this. So let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I had a record called Want More that kind of started bridging the gap in 2017. And then Love Rhythm is kind of where I started figuring out, okay, this is who I am. This is the R&B mixed with the Afro on this type of drums and everything. And I started just honing that and to the point where my fans would be like, okay, you gave us Love Rhythm. And Afrobeat was so new at that time. They were like, I mean, this feels good. We love this, but... where's the R&B? So then I give them an R&B record, then my Afrobeat fans is like, no, but we want that again. So I give you In My Bed, and then you give me... So it became a, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And it was so uncomfortable because I was like depriving a piece of my fan base every time I put out a record. So I'd have a record like I Do, for example, which is a wedding song, you know, and great wedding song. But then they're like, yo, we need something over here. So at that point, I'm like, I link up with my brother Punch. I link up with my dog. And it got to the point where it's like, yo, how can we just be exactly who you're supposed to be in one go? Mm. And said, yo, bro, this is the R&B vibe that we need. This is the, and we're gonna also pander to this side so everyone gets a serving, you know? And then it was the first time that I was able to just be free as an artist, bro, without thinking of, dang, am I not this? Are they not getting this and this? And I felt like partnering with my brother Punch, man, it just made the music process flow so easy that making music was fun again. So for a while, I wasn't having a good time. So now it's like, all right, we got 9 amazing R&B records, 9 amazing Afrobeat records. It was the first time I didn't have to choose anything. It was like, you know what, let's make a double album. And that's what people have today. So In My Heart, In My Veins, a double album that, like, you could just really never go to the side if you don't want to. If you really just want to be on R&B vibe and just play from one to nine, you good. If you want to be on the Afro, 1 to 9, and it's been that way since.
Mm, well, congratulations with that. And this one, is it fully independent?
So we're with Empire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still with Empire. So that's working well.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to maybe 2018. What was the EP? Was it?
Ooh, was it Walk With Me?
Not Walk With Me. It was before that one, I think. My Becoming.
Yeah, The Beauty of Becoming.
The Beauty of Becoming.
Yeah, brother.
I remember you saying a similar conversation, and right now, and doing my research, I see you give a lot of love to Punch,
yeah,
like management. Y'all do a lot of working together when it comes to writing and things like that. But it seemed like you were in a similar space when you were doing The Beauty of Becoming.
Yeah,
you were saying, like, I don't know if you was leaving something, but I remember you was becoming newly single.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You was making this music, and you was like, man, I just feel like I'm free.
Yeah,
and I was wondering, like, because I hear you say that now, what's the difference or the biggest difference between then when you were making that music and now?
Well, free, I could be a thought at that time. I was ready to be, you know, Roti Me Mr. Butterscotch.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
You know, that's what I meant by free.
Okay.
And now, artistically free. Mm. You know, at that time, I was still young. So I was just enjoying being a lit guy in his 20s, enjoying life. And at the time, it was like, you know what, let me just make records that I feel I really want to live and really want to do. You know? And then at that time, I partnered with Harmony Samuels, and that was a union that still to this day, like, opened my eyes to who I am as an artist. Like, I feel like every artist has that producer, super producer that you get tied to, that knows your sound, knows who you are, knows how you work, and a genuine brother in Christ. So we linked like this, and it was the first time I felt free to not be in a box at that time, but at the same time, now it's free of, like, overthinking. Like, now, prior to working with Punch and prior to being in the space that I'm in, I was overthinking so much. I was like, man, like, one, the love for music was dying. The love for the industry was dying. I didn't really, everything is politics. You pay for everything. You know what I mean? Labels is, if you want a number one record, you pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's the love of the industry wasn't the same.
Mm.
At this particular time, you meet somebody that's like, yo, bro, nah, hold on, bro. It don't matter what machine we going up against, you him. You know what I mean? It reminds you of that. And it just put the battery in your back, you know, and then it's like, okay, cool. Like, let's just keep going, you know?
One of the things that stood out to me, like, even when you speak to your relationship with Punch.
Yeah.
And we ain't about to make this whole interview about this guy.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned about, more importantly than the business, it was a real, like, relationship and friendship there.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times in the industry that we work in, we hear so many people talk about it's just business, right?
Yeah.
Like, ain't no feelings in business. And I don't know how I think about that. I'm curious, like, what you think about that when it comes to doing business with friends and having friends in the business?
I think it depends on the friend, you know? If the friend has a sound mind, if the friend isn't trying to compete with you, if the friend is a boss in their own right, if they listen, you know, then it can happen. You know, like, for me, whatever he does or anybody that's on my team, whatever they do is what they're hired to do, and I allow them to do their thing. Mm. They allow me to do my thing. So when it comes to that, like, it's just understanding, and we're transparent about everything, you know, and besides just Punch, in terms of just teamwork, you got to be super transparent with everybody you work with, because at that particular time, we're all going for the common goal. So if I'm not real with you, then how are we going to survive? How are we going to grow to the next level? And we mastered that. Like, there'll be times where we're trying to figure out things and no one else in the room knows what's going on, but we know, okay, this was the move. And I've had, I'm growing that with everybody that's a part of the team.
Mm. Do you think, because you've been in a space for some time now.
Yeah.
In my experience, I feel like I don't want to do business with somebody that I can't trust as a friend. What do you think about that?
I realize that it's really hard to find a friend in general, bro. So I can't base anything off of friendship.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you have integrity as a business person, then I ain't paying you to be my friend.
Mm.
You know, like, at that particular time, finding friends in life right now is 1 out of 100.
Facts.
You know, so that means I won't hire anybody if that was the case.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't get close enough. I feel like if the business is lit and then I end up like enjoying you as a human, then that's like a cherry, you know what I mean? Yeah. But in terms of like going into it, like, can I be friends with this person? I made those mistakes as a youngin, not knowing. So you're like, can I be friends with this person? Yeah, I could be friends. And then they're the ones that snake you the most, you know what I mean? So for me, I've just trial and error. It's like, if you're efficient, if you stand up human, if you do what you say you're going to do, if you don't cut corners, then we could work. And you happen to be cool, oh, then we super late. You're going to be here for a while.
Yeah. I find out sometimes people are super good at being, what is it, chameleonaires, I guess. Like chameleons.
Chameleons.
Yeah, whereas they can like they really, they can mask who they really are just to get next to you, just to get close to you.
Yeah.
Or even to business with you. And it's like, you don't find out some things about them until it's too late, until they do snake you on a business side or the friend side. It's like.
Yeah. Well, for me, bro, like I've been in it. You know, I've been in the industry, bro, for 10 years now, 10 years plus for real.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to see all type of personalities and all type of mindsets. And also because I'm spiritually like really close to Christ, bro, like I have so much discernment and I listen a lot more. You know, I'm slow to speak and eager to listen, you know, and so. People tell on themselves. If they talk enough, they're going to explain exactly who they are, you know? And so for me, I'm able to weed out what's real, what's not, because, like you said, people can only do it for so long,
Facts.
You know? And I'm protected by God that his chosen ones, he doesn't want too many negativity or too much negative around him anyway. So I just let people fire themselves, bro, or I let people leave them their life, leave my life on their own. Mm. You know, that's usually how it happens.
Mm. Yeah. How was you able to get there? I feel like a lot of times when we mature in the brain, it takes some heart, some hurt, some pain.
Yes.
Like, do you remember when that actually registered to you?
Almost 2 years now, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been a spiritual dude. I've always, you know, my mom is a prayer warrior. You know, my dad is a devout Christian as well. But my mom is, you know, my mom has been like Bible, small little Nigerian woman, you know, so. After a while, as a kid, it became numb. But I feel like there's a point in time where everybody has their own journey with God. You get what I'm saying? And so for me to mentally get to this point, I had to wild out. I had to do a lot of things to get to that point where it was like, you know, drinking as a crutch, you know, drinking to feel like you wanted to fit into the situation. Because most of the time, I didn't want to be there. So I got to substitute for other things or just thinking, oh, because I'm lit, I gotta be OD promiscuous. You know what I'm saying? Like certain things like that where it's like you make a lot of mistakes. So you fly in the moment, but then after a while you're like, damn, like I feel empty as hell.
Ooh, how it catch up to you as an adult.
As an adult, you look like, damn, I did this. Oh, she married now? He has no idea what it is. Okay, Jesus. Like all of these things that, you know, I started feeling a lot of shame for, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, it took a while. And then, you know, being in my marriage, you know, it was like, okay, bro, you got to tighten up, man. Like, and not necessarily infidelity, but more so just the person. Like, I was still a very hurt person that needed to heal in so many different aspects of my life where I didn't know myself, you know? And luckily, by the grace of God, she's lit, so she's able to help me through that, you know. But it got to a point where I got so lit one day, bro, and I just had like a panic attack. And I was like, I don't like this. Like, I started getting anxiety while I was drinking. I started feeling depressed afterwards. I started just different things just started not being myself. And I just prayed, bro. And as soon as I prayed, my dog, like, it felt like, oh, I felt like a big, like, hug, you know what I'm saying? And then it was like, okay, let me just follow whatever path this is supposed to be. So then I started slowly opening up my Bible, and then I started really enjoying it. And then I started bringing up me really close to my girl. Then it started making me a better father. Then it started changing my eye gate, where I started realizing, like, I don't need to be around that. I don't need to this. I don't even look at that the same way. I don't even lust for that. I don't even this. Like, what's she doing? Don't move me no more. Like, all of these things started happening as soon as I started mentally just getting closer to God, bro. Mm-hmm. So to this day now, it's like, man, bro, it's like, it's real, bro.
I'm smiling because, like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, we got to talk the music. I wanted to get the music out of the mouth. We got to stay here. We got to stay here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're going to go back to the music. But this is fire because these are the conversations that I enjoy having.
Yeah.
And because I speak on it a lot, bro.
Yeah.
Especially as African Americans coming from neighborhoods that we come from. Like, a lot of the world painted certain images and certain people to be, like, lit in our terms, right?
Yeah.
And that was, like, the opposite of it.
Yeah.
Like, the furthest from it.
Yeah.
And just recently I've been talking about, and I don't think I've had this conversation publicly yet, but I've been talking about the importance of having a woman that's a leader.
Yeah,
right? Because as a man, I'm a be the provider. I'm a be the protector because I ain't got no choice.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I could choose, I would have a woman that can lead me in the direction that I need to be led to because I'm behind the eight ball when it comes to emotional intelligence, when it comes to how to show up as the man that I need to be and not the one that I want to be.
Right.
And when I hear you speak about it and speak with your wife, it's like, it sounds like she stepped in that role and kind of forcefully made you step it up as a man as well.
Well, yes, to your point for sure. But it was like, I realize it's two things, bro. I realize this, right? Having an incredible partner will make you the best man that you're supposed to be, right? So I give her all the grace and glory for that. But it was like, you can only live right morally for so long. Like, for me not to step out or do anything, it can only last for so long morally. You got to be healed, like, for yourself. You got to say, nah, I don't even want that. I don't even want that. What happens if morally I'm like, you know what, morally, I mean, I could do this, and it's technically not wrong. You can BS that. Mm-hmm. It's more of self of, I personally don't need that. I don't want that. I don't, that don't fulfill me. I don't, that don't bring me joy. I already know if I do X, Y, Z, afterwards, I'm going to feel horrible for the next 5 days. Mm. So it's like you start putting yourself in these situations where it's like, I don't want that. And then the benefit is that she doesn't feel the pain from that. Rather than, I don't want to do it because my girl says I shouldn't.
Yeah.
That don't last, bro. You get lit one time, you in a bad situation, then what? You get, your whole mind is off to something else. So for me, it was like, nah, get yourself right.
And I don't want to be that person to anybody else because I don't want, I just don't want to be that person, right?
Yeah.
You get to that point where, as though, and again, I love this conversation, like, because I used to say, like, bro, I'm faithful because of me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be that guy that's out cheating on his wife. Like, I don't want to be that guy that's out stabbing my friends in the back.
Yeah.
I show up every day because I want to look at myself in the mirror and say, now, I'm that dude.
Yeah.
Not because of the flashiness and or how many views I got.
Yeah.
Because I'm that dude because of my character.
Absolutely, bro. And again, it goes, I had to, the only way a man going to really be right, and not even just faithful to himself, bro, like, All the cheating, all that's tip of the iceberg.
That's
light. I'm talking about faithful to themselves is truly relationship with God, bro. That's the only way because I start feeling weird if I don't have it. I feel like awkward if I don't read because I feel like I'm straying. Like I feel like, damn, I'm mad dependent on this now. It became my dependency, you know, to keep me like straight up, you know. So everything after the fact starts being better. It's not her feelings aren't the reason why I do it. Her feelings are protected because of the reasons why I do it.
Come on, man.
You get what I'm saying? So that's what I had to learn, bro.
That's such a powerful conversation. I love that we can have that. Yo, but I want to go back for a second though. Because you talk about your mom's being this small little African woman, but super powerful because of the power of God, right? And even to the point where you were saying that Bob Marley had came to her in her sleep, like, you're going to fulfill, like,
his
prophecy and things like that.
Yeah.
And being she's always been spiritual, she's always followed God and things like that. Where did you go left, I guess? What?
Being lit, getting money, being influenced by the world, bro. You know, your mom start telling you things when you start getting lit and she's like, be careful. And you're like, you hear it as hate. Like, I'm good. Like, what are you talking about? You making money. Like, please stay away from these girls. How? I'm not sleeping with all 10. I might choose 3. Seven. I could have did 7 more. Like, you start doing all that and you don't receive anything, you know? So they don't write a book about successful black men at 21. They don't write books to show you like what you for real should do except the Bible. You get what I'm saying? Like, they don't tell you a blueprint. So like, if you're not opening that, you're just going to figure it out and be of the world. And really, like, I just had to grow out of that, you know, but it was everything that was happening. I've always felt like it was hate. And I didn't understand that it was the most genuine love of like a parent to say, please slow down. Please, these are not your friends. Please save your money. Please, like, be aware of what you're saying and what you're spelling and what you're speaking. Please, like, all of these things, bro. So it was just to the point where it's like, oh man, I get it. Thank you. You know, yeah.
You know, it's crazy because now you're a parent.
Yeah.
You have two children.
Yes, sir.
A boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And I guess we can go back to the music because on the project, In My Heart, In My Veins, you have two songs on there, one about your daughter, one about your son, Seven.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it and I'm hearing you and I'm like, man, isn't it crazy how the roles reverse, right?
Yeah.
You were a kid saying, I'm good, like stop hating on me, right?
Yeah.
And now you got to raise two kids.
Yeah.
And the world, it seems like it's only getting worse.
It's getting worse, bro. It's getting worse, bro.
Whew.
Like, we got a real responsibility now, bro. Like, we're the first true parents that's going to be dealing with social media babies. Like, we grew up going outside, playing outside. If you were inside, if you were told
to punk.
Yeah.
Or you in trouble.
You in trouble.
Like,
if your mom or dad said, yo, stay inside, that you are punished.
You're crying.
Like, you crying now. It's like, go outside. And it's like, what? Why? So it's a whole different world. So for me, it's just, man, just starting a relationship with my kids. Like, they're 2 and 3, but they're both, and I know every parent says it, they're both geniuses. Like, literally, my son is an actual genius. Like, so he's 3 years old, and he's already doing third and fourth grade math and science and reading. So that's for, he's three, he's doing 7, 8-year-old work. So I already have to protect him even more because, one, things are going to start becoming really easy for him. But two, that's not normal, bro. So I got to hone his gift. And my daughter's watching everything he's doing. So she's just as fast, too. So for me, it's like me and V, we got to literally like come together and really make this the focus of our life. Like what I'm doing and all that, like it's providing, it's lit. But it's like these are the reasons why we do it. We can't overprotect because then I don't see nothing. And you can't be too loose and there's no discipline. So it's finding that balance, but just honestly, again, like praying to God, like thank God I got good kids and hopefully they stay this way, but you know, whatever they need is gonna be just written for me, you know.
Yo, it's when we talk about parenting, bro. I brought this up as a segue only because you were talking about it's not like they have a blueprint or a book of how it looked to be successful at 21.
Yeah,
it reminded me of a conversation that I was having with the mother of my daughter.
Yeah,
and I remember her saying, as a mother, one of the hardest things was like having her child. It wasn't a blueprint. It's not like the doctor give you a blueprint to be a parent.
Nah.
Right? And I'm like, man, the scariest thing as a parent to me is no matter how much I love my daughter, no matter how much I show up for her, no matter what I do for her, at the end of the day, she has to grow up and be her own individual.
Yes.
And I'm like, sheesh.
Yes, bro.
That part right
That's
there.
That's a lot, bro. And again, you just gotta it's a lot of prayer, bro. And it's also a lot of just trusting your instincts as a good person. You get what I'm saying? You've been through a lot of craziness. I've been through a lot of craziness. We've seen how different men move, different women move, so we can navigate it. But you always have to have that safe space of that she can come to you, that he can come to you and talk and be truthful. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm going to develop a whole relationship with my kids where like they got to, daddy got money, mommy got money. That's not really your money. So if you want something, you're going to have to, I'm going to have a chalkboard. And if you want shoes, it's going to require this amount of this to get this. So it's like build up of hard work. Like right now, I'd be like, why did you get this gift? My son's three. I'm like, why did you get this? Why did I give you this gift? And he was like, my son's like, because of hard work at three. He doesn't know what he's saying, but it's going to grow into that. Mm-hmm. What'd you do? I was kind. Why'd you get this gift? Because of hard work. So I'm instilling that in them now. But then also realizing that, you know, it's the main thing is them, bro. Like the main thing can easily be, I gotta do this show, I gotta, you know, thank God we got a 30 city tour, thank God. But my main thing is like, how am I gonna make sure they're good? how many FaceTimes can I get? What are the dates in between that I can go and make sure they straight, you know? And so once you keep the main thing, you're going to be straight as a father.
Yo, how do we navigate that as men? I feel like because men, we can compartmentalize where we know the main thing is our family as long as we stay focused, right?
Right.
Whereas though we see so many women get lost in being a parent, get right. lost in being a mom, especially when it comes to like their identity. Sometimes we see our woman almost fall into the trap of like just being a mom and forgetting about themselves. Where, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, where the men, the ambitious men that I know, that would never be us, if that makes sense.
Like, in which way?
As far as we're going to always chase our dream to provide for our family.
Right, right.
We're never going to like have our family lead direct the way, if that makes sense.
No.
Follow me.
Yeah, I mean, it's nature too. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's nature, is, you know, but at the same time, an ambitious man, his first priority is his family. Mm-hmm. Where we go out and hunt and bring back and provide. So like, that's who we are, but they never taught us how to balance that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What happens when you are home?
Yeah.
How do you react when you are there to make sure they're good? You know what I mean? All the ambition is cool, but your job is half done. Mm-hmm. You got to go back and nurture what you're doing too, to a certain extent, because you got to teach them how to do this too. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think that's where the disconnect usually is. It's like, yeah, I'm the man, I'm this, I made $4 million this year. But then that $4 million don't really matter if they struggling. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was going to, it's funny because I heard a long time ago where we hear men always talk about, man, I'm out here grinding for my family. I'm doing it for my family.
Yeah.
When it's like, honestly, bro, you be good at $2 million.
Yeah.
You good at $1 million. Yeah. At this point, you ain't doing it for your family. Yeah. You're doing it for you.
You're doing it for you.
When do you know when enough is enough?
Yeah, I just had this conversation. Yo, and by the way, you are an incredible, you're very incredible what you do, bro.
Thank you, bro.
It's very, very, I haven't had a conversation like this.
Appreciate it, bro.
With anybody, really. These are conversations I have with my dogs. You know what I'm saying? But so, when enough is enough, I really just, it's so interesting, bro. Like, so we just got our 30 dates for our tour.
Thank
you, bro. So we got our 30 dates for the tour. And on the surface, it's like, man, this is great, right? And we're going to do what we do. We're going to sell it out, God willing. Everybody come, you know, pre-sale gets is around, you know. But beyond that, I wake up every day and I see my girl and I see my kids, right? And you work to be successful that you don't have to go in to work, right? That's the point of it all, so I could do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, my ambition is keeping me wanting to continue to give the gift that God gave me to give to people, right? But I had to stop and say, dude, you are already wealthy enough, not necessarily monetarily, but you're already living the life that you want because you don't have to do the things that a person has to do, and you get to be around your people. So I asked my girl, I'm like, yo, if we made 3-4 million more, let's say, what would we be doing different in this moment?
Mm.
She was like, damn, we'd still be doing this. So doesn't that mean we're already wealthy?
Mm.
You get me? So then I took the power away from work, 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 and realized, yeah, I can make 10,000. My bills is 2. All right, cool. We have 8. I can make 1,500. The bills is 4. Whatever. It's if it does this and we're able to do this, we're wealthy, you know? But at the end of the day, I'm still a dog. So I'm going to still go get what I need to go get because I have a purpose and I'm on a mission. But I'm not run by that.
Mm.
You hear what I'm saying? Like, it's not...
I don't have to do
that. I don't have...
It's not necessary because I want to.
It's I want to. And I've been smarter with my bread enough that I don't have to, but I want to.
Mm.
However, I'm already living a wealthy life, not because of the money, because I'm able to just... I'm doing what I'm working to get $100 million... I'm already doing that.
Mm. And I'm living in my purpose too.
And I'm living in my purpose. So it's different, bro. Yeah.
It's funny that we get on this conversation because this was a conversation I wanted to have as far as ambition, because you've been ambitious since your mother was having you singing at weddings.
Yeah.
Right? And like going to different hoods and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, and again, I'm just super intuitive. So,
yeah, I'm here.
Like, when I'm listening to the story, I'm like, she's breeding a monster, but I don't think she knows it.
Nah.
And like, but on the surface level, it's fire. Like, what she's doing is great, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She supported his dreams from the jump.
Yeah.
Right. But I remember you speaking about how like she always pushed you to do like more.
More.
If it was 91, 95,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I love that. That's mad. I love it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is breeding an ambitious monster.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, as an adult now, do you ever think about or do you ever feel like a prisoner to your ambition?
I did. Sheesh. I did. Because that same ambition that got me to where I am now, bro, is the same reason why sometimes I feel like nothing I do is enough.
Mm.
Or sometimes I don't know if I did well.
Mm.
And this is prior to really just surrendering to the whole process and never really hearing good job, you know? So, and I guess a lot of kids go through that. You know, a lot of kids in the inner city, a lot of African parents, a lot of Haitian Caribbean parents, we don't get pats on the back. We said, you got it. It's always this. You get what I'm saying? And so I would get a 91 and my boy next to me would get an 84 and that's the best grade he got. And he's happy. And I'm like, and he's like, yo, why are you upset? I'm like, man, I got a 91, bro. Like, this is da da da. It transferred to sports. My dad would be like, yo, like, you had 12 points, 7 assists, but you could have had 17 and you could have had 9. You missed the open corner. Mm. So these things, so like, and that's a good dad. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But again, there's a certain balance that has to happen. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I left there thinking 12 and 7 was trash.
Mm.
That's actually good. 15 and 9 is better, but it's the way you speak to your kids. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what happened, where I started working so much because I never knew when I was doing well.
Mm.
And it breeded a monster. I didn't choose it. It was like, yo, bro, that scene was great. And I'm like, nah, but I messed up on it. Ah, the traumas of perfection is still with me. And the default of what comes of it is growth, right? But that's what I'm doing with my son now, where it's like, yeah, that was good, but you're better than this. I start with the good, go to what I did, and then end with a good. Like it's a sandwich effect, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, this is pretty good, but do you feel like you could have did better? You know, so it's like that. You're still breeding a monster. And you'll be like, nah, yeah, I could have done better. Okay, then go do it. I believe you can. It's little things that we didn't get that now we can make right, you know. And so, yeah, bro, because it took me, to answer your question, it took me up until 2 years ago to realize how lit I really am. Mm. Like, I've always known I'm gifted. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, take a second, bro. And realize and be grateful for the things you've done. And again, that takes people in your corner to do that. My girl, Punch, different people, my boy Just, and so Marcus. So like all my friends now around me is like, yo, take a second and realize what that is, bro. Most people can't do that. So it's rewiring the thought process. And then also spiritually, like, you know, biblically, it's like, yo, be grateful for everything.
Mm.
You know, so everything, like walking in here, bro, I was like, man, I'm grateful to do this interview with you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grateful for the people in here, bro. Like, you know, so for me, it's every little thing I take a part of, wow, I'm doing it, you know?
And
so,
and I appreciate that. And it's crazy because, like, I think one of the highest forms of love we say is, like, gratitude.
Absolutely.
Right? And just being grateful for life, being grateful for the opportunity to have a chance to, honestly, we here to, our whole purpose on earth is to get back to the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Right?
And yes, sir, bro.
When I think about what you talk about with gratitude and like just being a prisoner of ambition, I don't like how I show up with other people, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And now I got to start reevaluating myself. We talk about accountability. And now it's like, how does that look in a relationship with a woman?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Me not enough, not being enough. Right? Mm. Having that 91, knowing that that's a great grade, knowing that's an A.
Yeah.
Well, saying I can get a 95.
Yeah.
Now when I'm in a relationship, how I'm pushing my woman unintentionally and now that I make her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. Right. And so for me, I had to be transparent early.
Mm.
Like, I'm with you because I feel like you're extremely lit and I'm going to push you to be the best version of yourself.
Mm.
But I'm also going to talk you through the whole way. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's not, it's like, it's the lion and the lamb, you know, it's the biblical lion and the lamb. It's I'm a dog, but then I also know how to be here for her. So I'm with you because I expect greatness as you expect it from me. So because of that, let's talk it out. Let's work it out. But I'm always going to keep it real with you. Like, yo, that's you kind of that was you slacked on that. But, you know, and it's sharpened because she does the same for me, you know. And so it's like, you got to go into the relationship knowing that we're supposed to do this, you know.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
And then also, the misconception of going into a relationship is like people think, yo, that's my other half. No, that's you failed.
Yeah.
That is a crutch.
Yeah.
That is toxic. That's a toxic situation. So I had to realize that the more closer to 100 that I was, the more closer to 100 that she needed to be. And the rest, we're going to figure this out together. You know what I mean? And so that's the mentality, because your woman is a reflection of you, and the reflection of you is your woman, you know, and you're the reflection of your woman. So, yeah, bro.
We know how much you love music, right?
Yeah.
And it's been documented many times. People ask you, what do you choose, acting over music? You say music, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I was wondering, was that because with the music, people know it's Roe Timmy?
Yeah.
Whereas though with acting, it's always someone else.
Yeah. Is it because of that? That's maybe number two or three on the list.
Really?
Yeah. I think the first reason is because I can express myself, right? Not necessarily they know it's me, but it's more so like I can express myself. These are my words. Right. You know what I mean? Then it's like, okay, yeah, you're not looking at Dre or Charles, who's the newest character on The Shy. You're not looking at these guys. Yeah, I'm killing the role, but you're looking at what I'm doing. There's a disconnect. Here, it's I'm able to tell you. And also the simple meaning, like, you can listen to your favorite song 50 to 100 times in your life, bro.
Yeah.
But you're going to watch your favorite movie 3 times.
Yeah, a couple times.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so what's the connect? Or, like, touching people and being cool with people here, like, it's no better feeling. You know, and music for me, like, that's why this album, bro, is so important, because I literally am giving, you know, all of who I am. And then also we have a music video for every song.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, thank you, bro. So we starring it, we're laying it out, but like certain songs are catching vibes, so we got to stay on certain songs longer. So
you might not do that every 3 months like you thought it was going.
We haven't been, brother. It's been 6-7 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, again, being able to audible, but it's a good problem to have. And it's not a problem. It's a good situation to be in.
Yo, I want to stay on music real quick. Hold up.
Yeah, bro.
So back when we talk about In My Bed, one of the biggest moments of your career.
Yeah.
You were number one on Billboard, was it?
Number one. I had the
what was it?
Yeah, radio. Number one on radio.
Number one on radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got power going on. You like the hottest person in the moment, right? Entertainer.
Yeah.
And I hear you talk about it, and it was like that time you were making music, but it was more so writers, like they're telling, like, yo, they write, sing it like this, performative.
Yeah.
And in my mind, again, I'm just trying to be a mathematician or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. You got that space, but it worked.
Yeah.
Number one on radio.
Yeah.
Lit. You hot. Hottest thing smoking.
Yeah.
Now, you have creative freedom.
Yeah.
You're able to do it in the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
And some would say you're not as popular as you were then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if that works, why not embrace that route? Or mm-hmm. does this work better for you in the fact that you're able to enjoy the fruits of your labor mm-hmm. and we just don't recognize that as fans? Just curious.
Is that as well? For example, let's say my record, I Love Me Some You, right? Mm-hmm. New record that we got goes cool.
First one on the track, which is really good.
Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. So that goes out this world. Mm-hmm. The money that I see for that record because of my percentage of the writing on that mm-hmm. will trump anything that I've done with half the work.
Okay.
So as a businessman, this is a better way. You know what I mean? As a clout thing, that is a cool way.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm in a space of what brings me joy. You know, at that time, I was chasing clout. Mm. Now I chase great business moves. And if it happens to bring the right type of attention, then lit. Here's like, yo, it's clout. I'm lit. And that's what I was living and thriving off of. Now I go to my mailbox and say, oh, we good for another whatever, because it's more control. Mm. So it's that. But also, again, as a businessman, I know that that does work, but I'm not relying on that. Mm. There was a time where I was relying on that and I wasn't making as much as I am now. Mm. Because you have a hit record, there's 15 people on the song and it's a sample. Who you get? Yes, I can make my money from shows, but I've already built such a cachet as an artist and as a personality, as whatever it is, as a musician, that I'm still making money off my shows because we're still relevant in that space as well. And plus making more money because it's more percentage. Mm. So the clout, yes, it's powerful. It plays a point. You know, it got us to where we are. And we're going to do it again, but in a different way. I got different monsters around me. God was actually protecting me from being OD lit because I didn't have the right people around me, too. Mm. It was like, yo, here's a taste of what I know you will become. Just enjoy this. You are who you are. We're going to do it the right way. And you're going to have more money. So that's what we're doing now. At that time, for example, big record, number one show, I couldn't do a 30-city tour. I'm now doing a 30-city tour off of this last album, which generates more money. You get what I'm saying? So the business, yeah, everybody goes by what they see and whatnot, but In My Bed isn't the best song that I have. It's just the most successful so far. Mm. I have about 8-9 other bombs that's ready to go at any moment. It's just that, again, it's doing it a way that, one, we get more of our bag. Two, it's building longevity. Mm. You get what I'm saying? So, like, that's what I want. Legacy. That's a moment that set the sparks off. But again, it's going to happen again, but now we have more control over it. Mm.
You know, it's funny. Having these interviews, bro, it showed me it gave me a eyesight inside of the business of music, which I really didn't understand before I started doing the interviews, because I looked at it as a fan.
Yeah.
And I understand now that it's so many people out here in the music industry who are successful artists that we might not know.
Absolutely.
And they are okay with that.
More than.
But so many people, they come in the music industry and they want to be the most popular person.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, from somebody who had the success, if you had to choose to be just a successful businessman or everybody know your face and your name, which, if you had to choose.
Now?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a trick question, bro. Mm-hmm. But not because of, it's not because of like, to be lit.
Yeah, I know. Talk about
it. I feel like I have a duty to lead people to the kingdom. Mm.
Come on, man.
You
talk
to me.
Yeah.
So if I'm a successful businessman, then just my family's okay. Mm. But I gotta be a face to save souls. You know what
I'm
saying?
Come on, talk about it.
It's to say, yo, I remember when, there's mad stories of Ro. I remember when Ro was there, he changed like that, that you can be this person as well, you know? And so I think it'd be extremely selfish of me to say a successful businessman, because I have a duty out here, you know what I'm saying? And so I take that, not necessarily for myself. Yeah.
I get it, bro. Yeah. It's purpose and it's big.
It's purpose. It's a purpose, bro. Like, I'll be dishonoring, you know,
and sometimes our purpose be bigger than it's bigger than what people can even fathom.
Yes.
Like, I tell my friends all the time, like, bro, if this got a million views or I get a million subscribers tomorrow,
yeah,
I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
And it's not the fact, it's not because I'm greedy, because I'm super content. I love God.
Yeah.
It's because I know my purpose is way bigger than all of that.
Absolutely.
Like, I need as many people that came from where I come from to understand that you can do it as well.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So if I just stop at $1 million, $100 million, my purpose is bigger than that.
Yes.
And so many people want to project their like energy on you or their nightmares on you, their fears on you, that they can't see that. They can't even understand that.
Yeah.
That's why I asked when I was wondering. And there's no answer.
No. And I agree, bro. But also, like, it's also showing a blueprint or taking a blueprint of someone learning, someone growing, someone changing, but still living and doing what they love to do too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, making it cool to be this way. You know, nothing's lost. You know what I mean? And so being able to just be a well-rounded human being, bro. And I think that's what I'm supposed to show.
That's so good, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, so when we talking, I'm going to go back to the music real quick,
yeah,
right?
Let's talk.
So we have that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine the false relationship that it created.
Yeah.
Did it ever get confusing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have some of them relationships to this day? When you were your hottest.
When
you were Dre on Power.
Yeah,
when you had In My Bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about those songs and the false relationships that might have created from it.
Well.
And did it change?
I had to change my surroundings.
Mm.
It changed because I had to change my surroundings. But at the same time, like, not all, but a lot of people were around me because I had the baddest joints around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We were the hottest thing in New York. My shows was all women, you know, it was endless bottles of liquor, you know, and it was lit. It was lit for that moment. But at the same time, once I started realizing that, damn, like, I really don't have a lot to talk to you guys about, it started changing the shift.
Mm.
And I was like, yo, this isn't really making me feel fulfilled, so I got to take myself out of that. And then when I started doing that, and then COVID happened, so it was like, okay, I got no choice but to separate myself. And I moved to Atlanta.
Okay,
so everything kind of like stayed in New York. Again, this is not every single body. It's like two or three people that I still connect with, but everything changed when I hit Atlanta, and I just wanted to do something different, bro. And like, again, like In My Bed. In My Bed really took off in the pandemic.
Mm.
So I didn't get to really experience the fruit of the record like people thought. It was the viral moment because everybody was really in their bed, and it was a great record, and it's a great song. It's a timeless song. But I really couldn't experience traveling the world, touring, and I thank God I didn't, because I would have been a menace, you know what I'm saying? So now, again, to this day, I saw all that. I felt all that. I know what I want. I know what I want to take from that. And when we have this new success, I know what to do the right way now with the right people around me, with the right mindset, with the right. I couldn't have had a 30-city tour then, bro.
Mm.
I would have lost my mind, bro. You know what I mean? I would have. There was no guidance. There was no connection to God. There was no nothing. I would have been a wild nigga, bro.
Mm.
So it came at a right time where, okay, let's have fun. Let's enjoy this, but differently. And let's just be the best we can. Plus, what we're about to do is going to double the success that we had, but now the proper way, because that run is about to start again. I'm the newest character on The Shy.
Mm-hmm.
Another show. We got to have hit records. Another thing. So it's going to be this. God's saying, all right, you saw how that was.
The right way this time.
All right. You got it? You got it? All right, let's do it again. Mm-hmm. And now that's what's happening, bro.
Who was on that song? You had a
Wale.
Wale.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking that because when everything is going good, it's easy to get a feature.
Yeah.
It's easy to walk in certain rooms.
Yeah.
And I think you have had Akon on some songs.
I think
50 had jumped on one of your first...
first single.
The first single.
Yeah.
So you had the relationships to be able to get features to make these songs be even bigger songs, right?
Yeah.
Now we see it a little different.
Yeah.
And some would say you might not be as big as a personality as you were then.
Yeah.
And that's why I was wondering, do you feel that like, oh, now people treat me different.
People fan like as human.
Pop your shit. It's okay. Pop your shit.
Like, you know, like for me, my fault, bro.
You good? Punch over there playing. Publicist and shit.
He's playing publicist. You know, for me, a lot of it is people still show that. Right? Mm. It's me who chooses not to be seen out like that. Okay. I chose differently. Okay. You know what I mean? And the thing is, too, like, fans mistake quantity for quality. You know, I think I said that right. But I think fans mistake all this, rah, rah. But we're on a level of let's focus on quality, you know? And so now, again, my perspective, right? For example, Punch is my guy who's knows everything about what's going on in the culture, everything lit. Me, I'm chilling. Like I don't care what nobody doing. I'm gonna go do what I do. But that yin and yang allows me to say, yo, bro, you gotta be outside, bro, because you know what it is when we go outside. So I'm like, all right, let's go outside. And we see what changes. We see the room shake. We see, oh my God, we see all that, but it was by choice for a while. Mm. Now, as soon as I started doing that again, it's records with K-Camp, it's records with 2 Chainz, it's records with Eric Bellinger, it's records with Mayor Coombs.
That Eric Bellinger is crazy.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. It's record with, I think I said K-Camp already. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, it's all of these things that's starting to happen just from me stepping outside again, you know? And so I said, okay, let's make that move. So that's what I'm saying. So it's doing things the right way, because I had to take a break, bro. And when I used to go outside, I used to be the nigga that everybody would expect everything from. And I knew I was around the wrong type of people. Again, not everybody. But now the shift has changed. So now when I do, it don't leave a bad taste in my mouth. Now it's like, all right, let's do it the proper way. So it was a calculated chill, but then also for our album, we wanted to prove that we didn't need anybody. So these were calculated things. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, on my album, I have a verse from Chainz that I didn't personally use because I wanted to make that statement. You get what I'm saying? So people will understand that, because it's more of like perception. Oh my God, this and this and this. They mistake clout for quality. That's what the thing is about this time, bro. Everything, you could be so trash.
And you lit.
But if I walked over and spit in your face, bro, and slapped you, we are the most viral. But niggas just talk for an hour about everything lit. But if I did that, yo, Ro, do you see Ro sent me? Yo, he's lit. That's Dre again. Like, yeah. Clout. My store is sold out. And I'm now, I slapped that nigga. I get another podcast. And I get another podcast. Yeah. And another podcast. For what?
Do you try to balance it, though?
Clout?
Like, I mean, just because we got to sell, right?
Do we have to sell that way, bro?
Not that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just wondering. Because sometimes we've seen it work. Some people, they say, sometimes you got to feed the medicine and the candy.
That's lit.
So I'm just wondering. And you may not. I'm just curious.
I understand, again, if you are a businessman, clout over quality. That's what it is, for sure. But listen, I'm a true art. I'm a real dude, bro. I'm not going to do things just for you to like me.
Yeah.
You're going to like what I provide you, or you don't.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? You're going to rock with it, or you don't. You're going to come to my tour, or you don't. I'm genuinely who I am. I'm not going to. I know, like, if I post a picture of 3 strippers shaking their ass and I slap it and I just, yeah. I'm to my song, the song going number one. But I got to go to sleep at night with that, bro. You know, I don't want that. I'm not a gimmick, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so a lot of gimmicks are here. This is a gimmick time, you know? If people suffering, they're like, oh, my song didn't do well. Okay, you know what? Let's go out and do this. We'll be back popular. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, bro, because it takes away from the point of the whole thing.
You're right. You do know this is my job, though, right?
Please.
I didn't want to do this, but it's an alley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
we see people who do that and it work. And one specific time, it worked with you.
Valid. I didn't choose that, though.
Okay.
That wasn't my idea.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
All
right. I was, again, in fairness, true, right? I thought it was real. So when it happened, I'm like, oh.
What'd you say he called you, though?
After.
Okay, okay. All right.
Yeah.
He called me. We having this conversation. I don't even got, we have it.
Yeah. Right. Okay. After the fact, it was, we was doing a photo shoot. We see the internet. We see it going. Okay. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? He was like, hey, hold on. Just watch. I'm going to say this is going to happen to you. I said, oh, okay. That was what it was, you know, and I thank God for that, you know, because it did help at the time. But it wasn't me like, yeah, let's do this, man. Okay. Yeah, like, I think this is going to be great. There's a difference. I just was a part of something that, by the grace of God, it worked.
Okay.
But in terms of who I am, I'm not purposely going to do that, you know, for myself. You know what I mean? Because I don't believe in it, bro.
Yeah. I don't care. I was just, you get, it was an alley oop. So
I couldn't skip
over it. But
that's great. You're doing
okay. So I'm curious, bro. One of your most phenomenal pieces of work.
Yeah, bro.
Is Broski.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, I asked you all of those questions because I was curious to see, was it ever a Broski for you?
Oh, about eight.
He said like eight.
Yeah.
Just eight.
Niggas lie to me every day, bro. Yeah, niggas are just, yeah, bro. I got three friends, bro. I got three friends and I'm good. Because again, this society and this industry will make people use you, lie to you, expect things from you. I did all this work, but then you feel entitled. Like, I live that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really, so when he brought that to me, it was like, yo, this is, wow, I know nine people like this, you know? And so I just played it the way that I felt it in my spirit, bro. Like, it's more that than not. That's the sad thing about it. It's, that is, to not find a Broski should be the song that we make. Like, that is the world, bro. Like, we have people call my man, we could have people call Punch, and will literally say, yo, I spoke to Rotimi like 2 minutes ago. I'm sitting next to Punch. And we're doing something completely different on working, writing, on set, whatever. And they'd be like, yo, I haven't been on my phone for 15 minutes or an hour maybe. Yo, I just got off the phone with Ro. He said to call you and tell you this. And like, yeah. When you talk to him? Literally, like, I hung out with you and call him, bro. Like, it's that vicious, bro. Mm. And Broskis run the world.
Mm.
Sadly, you know? So for it to be the staple record that people, you know, it's a timeless piece, man. It really is a timeless piece. But
that's the only reason why I even asked about the relationships during that time and now.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if that created a Broski during those times where everybody thought you were up when ain't really much changed.
Yeah.
And I guess looking at that piece of work you did, we felt it. We felt the passion behind it.
Thank you, bro.
You being so genuine.
Thank you, bro.
Authentic, just a real person, like you say. Does it ever be hard to navigate through the Broskis?
Now I just expect it. You know, so really, I don't really spend time trying to navigate.
But that's tough, bro.
It comes with it, bro. It comes with it. This is the side that people don't talk about. It comes with it. It comes with it, bro. Especially in a clout chasing world. It never was always this bad. It just got to a hyper level of damn, like, I just want to be around light, you know? I think also it's a spiritual warfare going on, bro. Like, people attached to light, that dark wants to attach to light too. So like, for me, again, I pray and I ask for discernment around whoever I'm around, bro. I ask the Holy Spirit to just, if they're not supposed to be around me, please don't be around me. And they usually, they just fall off. Yeah.
Somebody you spoke about a couple times, and I just want to make sure I got it right.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, we talk about what's his name? I lost it. I said this earlier. Whatever. His name is I think it's Harry Belafonte.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's crazy. Look at me. I ain't even see it. I did just some quick research on him. And he's an actor, musician.
Yeah.
But actor, musician.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he was known for was his activism.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, you speaking about like having that be like you being walking down his footsteps.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you wait? Like, when do you know when it's right to move into activism?
Because
that's a tricky.
He'll hit me, but that, again, my activism is different, bro. Like, my activism is bringing people to the kingdom.
Mm.
It's not tangible things. It's if I made 10 people say, you know what, man, I gotta open my Bible, then I did my job. Mm. That's my activism, you know. Mm. So like, it's different, you know.
What are you doing intentionally to do that thing?
Be a voice, have conversations like this, you know, sway the narrative to this, to always be an example. And so for me, like, it's so funny because I couldn't have done it during the power days, you know, because now, yeah, the hot, whatever, it's, I'm way bigger of a person now.
Mm.
Physically, spiritually, and numbers wise.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, numerically, I'm a bigger star than I was then because I'm more global now. So this is the perfect time to be able to bring that activism, which is my activism, is to be a voice, you know? And so I couldn't do that then. It was a box then.
Marginalizing.
Now you see it. Now I walk in my truth. You see it, I got the family. You see I got the 2K. You see I'm still out here. You see I'm still acting. You see I'm still music. You see I'm still whatever it is, and I'm even bigger than I was then. You know what I mean? Again, I couldn't do a 30-city tour then. I didn't really have fans. That was literally the show.
Mm-hmm.
I did a 6-city tour. That's the best I could do then. Now I have legit fans. You get what I mean? Supporters. I hate that word. Supporters. You get what I'm saying? So like, yeah. So he's put me and elevated me to this point to do my activism, which is what I'm doing now, bro.
How does it feel to have like the world as your stage and have that weight on your back to be able to like tell people about God?
It's like breathing, bro. I don't view it as any weight. I view it as just what I'm supposed to do.
So you don't feel no pressure from it?
From what?
Mm.
Pressure for what, bro? This is what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? I there's no pressure. I don't live in pressure anymore. And that's a new thing. I'm not going to lie to you. That's anxiety was used to run me. But there's no pressure. I don't feel any pressure anymore. Mm. You know, everything is written.
Yeah, I ask that because I embrace it. I love it.
Pressure?
Like, yeah, what? Because you had said something and I thought was dope, but I thought you missed one thing. You was like, man, it takes work to be a husband. Mm-hmm. It takes work to be a father. It takes work to be an actor. It takes work to be a singer and an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. That's 5 things you got to work on constantly. And I'm like, shit, you know what else it takes work to do? To be a good person.
To be a good person.
Okay. It takes work for that.
And that, yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
I don't care. Like, I show up in it all the time. Like, give me the pressure.
That's lit. Like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's like to show up, tell people about God. Like, I'm the one for it. So like when a success happened, I look at it like I can look at myself in the mirror and say, I truly deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the one that's gonna do right by this.
Yeah. Like, yes.
And that's why I was wondering.
I get that. So I think, okay, so let me rephrase that. I feel the pressure when I sin and whatever the sin is, and I feel the pressure of like, oh shoot, did I just mess something up?
Mm-hmm.
Did I just I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Shoot. All right. I feel disconnected. Okay.
Let me get back. Yeah.
What I got to do? Three, four good more things. But it's not based off of our good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the misconception. We can't do enough good to get into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. Like, that's why Jesus died. You know, like, we can't. We're already flawed. There's nothing we can do on our own merit to get us into heaven. However, we can be good people and choose that way. So for me to be it's hard, bro. Like, I'm surrounded by temptation in every single way of the word. Every single day I step outside, every single day I'm inside.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter. So for me, it's like that pressure, you have to find things to alleviate the pressure. So for me, I personally got off social media. I don't really do Insta. You know what I mean? I don't do these things because I know that's a pressure of comparison, insecurity, validation, lust, all these things that attack your mind right when you open it up. You know what I mean? Like, so for me to stop drinking and have these things, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I enjoyed it. now I view Instagram or these other apps as like a shot of lust, a shot of validation, a shot of comparison, a shot of insecurity. It's like, hold up, hold up. So I started relieving myself of these pressures, you know, to do the work as a man, bro.
And that's what make you great, bro. Like, just to be able, like you say, to be around temptation and rise above it.
Yeah.
Right? I ran a marathon not too long ago, and my friend called me like, yo, bro, now you a part of the 1% club.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to, like, take his compliments, right?
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, you don't even understand how, like, this ain't, like, how of an insult this is.
Yeah.
And I've been a part of the 1% club because of my mentality. So like when you say that, I hear it, it's like, that's what make us 1%ers.
Absolutely.
Not because of what we do.
Doing.
And the actions. Nah, it's because of your mentality. The fact that you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
That's fire.
Yeah, bro. And like, so I can't be swayed, you know, and that's what I try. And that's the pressure to fight off being swayed in any way, you know, and that's the pressure.
I'm going to let you get out of here soon, bro.
I'm here with you.
You were going back. I remember you did a Breakfast Club interview, and Charlamagne, of course, at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is before he walked into his, you know, mental health bag.
Yeah,
this is old Charlamagne, right?
Yeah.
So he was like, basically, that at that time, Dre was getting you a lot of girls. And he was like, yeah, but my hardest thing at the moment is just it wasn't discernment. You ain't said that exactly, but basically, like self-control or something
self-control,
like that, right?
Yeah.
Like not dealing into that when I can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's interesting because, again, that was a high moment in your life. And now, a higher moment in your life.
Yes.
I'm wondering, what's the hardest part about being real to me now?
Oh, man, you are good, bro.
Oh, man, thank
you are really good. The hardest thing about being real to me now is, dying to my flesh every day.
Mm. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Go into that.
Yeah.
Damn. So I'm good, nigga. You good.
Yeah. Because I am real Timmy now, right?
Mm.
And I see everything. I'm still a man. I still have, my flesh is my flesh, but dying to that, bro, carrying my cross every day and saying, yo, like, there's better things if you say no to these things.
Mm.
Knowing that. And I'm around monsters, bro. Like, let me explain, man. My brother is a demon.
You ain't got to tell me. Hey, you got to tell me.
Yo, I'm around monsters, bro. And like, so for me, killing my flesh daily, bro, is the hardest thing because I know it's the most, it's the most difficult thing that any human can do. Dying to flesh and staying in a straight place, especially when you've experienced so much and everything is at your fingertips. So dying to flesh every day, and you know the flesh knows it can't travel with you, so that's why it's trying to kill you now. You know what I'm saying? So I know that, you know, I know now the devil is so slick and I know how he moved that I'm able to kind of understand what's happening, but yeah, it's still a battle every day, bro. And having the mindfulness to fight through that, you know, knowing that these thoughts are like random clouds that will just fade if you just withstand it. So I've that is probably the hardest thing.
Last question, bro, I promise. So listen,
yeah, bro,
I want you to take your time with this.
Yeah, bro.
If we could like act like none of these cameras here, none of these lights are here, it's just you in your room. And I say, I want to paint a picture. You say, our purpose on earth is to make it back to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
But most importantly, help somebody else get there.
Yeah.
Right. And if I'm not going biblically, I think the second purpose would be to help somebody else not go through the same thing we went through.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that being said, like you said, that's the hardest part about being real to me right now.
Yeah.
Is somebody out here who might not be as famous as you.
Yeah.
Might not have as much money as you.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to get through that because they're having the same problem, but they don't think they can get through that because they're not real to me.
Yeah.
I want you to speak to that person, but pause. But most importantly, if you could speak to yourself and have them hear your words while speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
What would you say to Roe Timmy when you dealing with those moments, when you fighting temptation, when you having those moments of your flesh, when you in your house by yourself talking to God? What are the words of encouragement that you take to yourself?
To my still younger me.
To
myself.
Yeah, even if it's now.
Even if it's now.
The hardest part of you. What do you say to that person? Talk to him like you was talking to him. Like, not like you talking to me. Talk to him like you talking to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I basically say, is what you temporarily want worth sacrificing a place in heaven? Mm. Is the pain you're going to feel after this worth it? Mm. Because this 15, 20 minutes or whatever you think is going to make you happy, it comes with a cost. Is it worth it? Are you ready to pay that? Also, understand that the only way you can get through this, because you can't do it alone, you have to open up your Bible. Mm. The Bible is the secret to it all, bro. Because when you open up the living word, bro, it changes your whole energy. It changes your whole mindset, and it holds you accountable. So I'd say get as close. To simplify it, I'd say get as close as to the Bible as possible. Mm. That's it. It's that simple. But then it's also telling myself the suffering is worth it in the end. The suffering is worth it, bro, because then you can get trusted with more. And that's what's genuinely happening, bro.
Mm. Yeah. The suffering is worth it in the end. Yeah. Yo, real love for you, brother. I appreciate you for pulling up. I appreciate your time. I thank you so much, man. This conversation was definitely rejuvenating. It was edifying. And this is great, bro. For real.
My dog.
My heart, my veins is out right now.
Yes, sir.
30 city tour.
Yes, sir.
We going on that. We doing that.
Yes, sir.
Man, this is good, man.
Yeah.
Mr. J Hill, J Hill Podcast, Road Timmy. It's a wrap. We out.